WBOSS Bossman Radio.
Tuesday morning and welcome to Drive Time, brought to you by Jim Peach Motors and Peach Chevrolet. Apologize for not being on with you yesterday. Ran into a couple of technical issues that were unforeseen. Got it worked out. Back here today and possibly, probably the best show today with PGA Professional Tour player Boo Weekly in the house. Good morning, Boo. Good morning,
Good
Ken.
Good morning, Boo. Good morning, DJ. How's it going?
Oh, it's good. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I promise you, you have classed this program up. That is for sure.
I don't know about that, man.
Oh, I promise you, you definitely have. But, Boo is gracious enough to come in this morning and sit down with us and talk a little bit of golf and whatever else. So, I guess one of the first questions, Boo, is tell us what's been going on lately.
The hunting season finally ended. Now I can get back to golf. That's what's been going on. But no, I had elbow surgery about 5 months ago, and I've just been fighting with it a little bit, trying to get it back healed up where I feel like I can go out and compete again. And now I finally feel like I can, and I started back hitting balls last Thursday, and I'm hoping in about maybe 2 or 3 weeks I can get it going, and then maybe in about a month and a half I can get back out on tour.
Well, I tell you what, I know I personally can attest to what sitting next to somebody that's a millionaire is all about, because I have I saw a check that was big as this table that you happened to be holding one time, and it had way more than $1 million wrote on it, and that's one of my wife's prized possessions. I'm not gonna lie to you. I said, well, I tell you what, you better enjoy it, because that's the closest you'll ever get that bid to being a millionaire. I can tell you that. So, no, that was what was that? The tournament in that was it the Crown?
Crown Plaza.
Crown Plaza. Yes, that's right, out in Texas, I think it was.
Yeah, and, I brought that you know, gave me that was it Happy Gilmore check?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And brought it back home with me, and I don't even think I was supposed to bring it home, but I think I stole it anyway because I was in such a hurry trying to get out of there and get back to the beach. And
well. I tell you what, I remember when everybody, when you was coming in, there were horns blowing and all this kind of stuff. And so, anyway, yeah, that was a good time. But, yeah, a lot of people in this morning, Adam Manasco and Steve Nelson, Miss Ann Peach in, Paul Crumpton from the Big Pond, across the Big Pond, Penny Holmes, Miller Ball, Miss Carol in, Carol Glidden, Aunt B's in this morning, DJ, Kathy Tolan. Let's see. Good morning, Dick Capper, Bubba Roby. Bubba's in this morning.
Good morning, Bubba.
So, anyway, we are sitting here with a legend.
In my own mind.
Well, that makes two of us.
I think that's three of them.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're glad to have Boo in this morning, and you've been off. How long have you been off playing golf now, Boo?
It's probably been, I want to say, about six and a half, seven months.
So you ready to get back out there on the?
I'm ready. Yeah, I done got lazy and bored now, sitting around the house, being able to hunt and fish, and you know, it's been a good time off. You know, it's been a time well deserved, I feel like, and you know, I'm ready to get back with it. Hunting season's over with, fishing season's about to start up, but I can still got, like I said, I got about a month and a half. I can do some pretty good bass fishing and catch some crappie and stuff like that, and then throw some golf in there mixed with it and be ready to get back on the road and make some money again.
That's right.
Boo, I don't have any medical training, so I want you to take that under advisement as I preface this. I got an idea for some of your rehab. Why don't you and I find Robbie Cott and McGowan Miller? We'll go out and play them $100 a hole about 36 times.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. That'll help out anyway. I mean, that'll help me. You know, I got to help pay for some of the stuff for my kids. Oh, we good. That'd be great if they'd come on out. Like, I've been waiting to get some of McGowan's money anyway. You know, he's a little hoarder. He just hoards all that stuff up. Mr. Cotton, I mean, I'd say he's the best golfer that's up here in Bruton by all means. And, but I don't know if you can get it out of his pocket. You might have to hold him down and tickle him to get it out.
That would be a lot of fun. I tell you what, so if anybody out there has contact or they can get Robbie Cotton and McGowan Miller lined up, Boo and I will be ready. I don't figure we can be ready before 9 o'clock, but about 9:05, we'll be ready to put it in the ground and see what happens. Good crowd in this morning. Diana Blake, good morning. Amanda Henry, Samantha Pate, Cotty Baggett, Jody Jernigan, Rebecca Whitfield in as well. Good morning to each of you. Jason Tiepo, Brandon Swain, thank you for joining us here on Drive Time. Boo Weekly here with us. And Boo, in all seriousness, a lot of people don't necessarily associate golf with grinding on the body, but if you look through the years, it does take a toll on your body. You look at the number of golfers who are trying to come back from injury or have injury, where it's back, elbows, knees, whatnot. It is a grind to be out there like you guys are and play like y'all do. There's a lot of wear and tear on the body.
Yeah, there's a lot more than what people know. I mean, especially like with our hips and in our lower back and then your hands, you know, because we get a lot of arthritis because you hit hitting the ground all the time. And, you know, you think about it, you know, if you're hitting the ground on average, I say when I'm actually full blown going, you know, I usually average probably about 500, 600 balls a day, you know, easily. And then go out there and play, or, you know, might be practicing, really focusing on what I need to focus on. It might be 1,000 balls a day, you know. And I mean, that's from, you know, an 8-hour day or 9-hour day of actually standing out there beating it. And then plus, like, you know, your hips and stuff, you're turning and burning on the hips. And it wears out after eventually, you know. And the older you get, you know, I'm no spring chicken no more as golf goes. You know, now you look at all the guys that's on tour, they're all, you know, 25, 26 year olds, like your average player out there now. And, you know, all the guys that are 40 to 44 like I am, it's, you know, it kind of wears on your body.
Talk a little bit. I mean, you talked about all the great players. You're certainly one of them. Talk about the mental grind it takes for 4 days to compete against the best players in the world week in and week out, and just to put yourself in position to win that thing on Sunday. Talk about the mental grind that you guys go through over the course of a tour season.
Well, for the whole season, it really wears you out, because, I mean, what's crazy is you really only make all your money in 5 tournaments.
Right.
I mean, and so, you know, if you can get on a roll where you feel good, your body feels good, and, you know, everything's falling your way, you know, and a lot of golf is a lot of luck. I mean, believe it or not, it is a lot of luck, but at the same time, it's all about the preparation, you know, about, you know, do you believe in what you're doing? And you got to tell yourself, you know, just because you hit one bad shot don't mean it's the end of the world. You got to go out there and stand up and, you know, hit it again. You know, you got to find it and keep yourself in the grind mentally, just to say, all right, I know I'll hit it over here, so let's make sure we get this up and down. If we don't get it up and down, let's just make sure the worst we make is a bogey. We'll make a birdie somewhere else to cover back up for that bogey. And, you know, that's the whole thing too. You just got to overcome your obstacles of golf, and just, you know, and it, just anything you do really in life too.
What's your favorite golf course to play?
I'd say Tanglewood, right there.
You know, yes, sir.
I mean, that's right there at home. Right there at home, man. I mean, it's a golf course. You know, I can go around there, and it's so much fun. With granted, we've lost so many trees down there, but it's a great golf course. You know, to actually just go and play and bring my kids out there, and, you know, even the people I run across over the times. But, like, you know, I like coming up here to Bruton and playing. I mean, it's by far, to me, it's the best golf course we got in 40 miles of where I live at, you know. I know Steelwood's a good one too, but it's a little too far out for me. But to be able to come up and play and enjoy what I'm doing and practicing, and Bruton's probably one of the best, because the greens are always, in, you know, I'd say nine months out of the year, they're in the best greens that we'll put on all year. And, you know, I guarantee, you know, granted, you can't help the weather sometimes, but just to be able to practice and do all that, and at Tanglewood, Stonebrook, you know, even Navarre down there. I've gone down to Navarre and played at Hidden Creek and practiced down there some, just because, you know, you want to change it up to where you see a different golf course, because, you know, you don't want to play the same golf course every day.
You know, your journey to the tour was a little different than most or than some. Talk a little bit about growing up as a junior golfer, when you got interested, when you felt like you really had a special gift to play it and pursue it professionally.
Well, it's kind of crazy, because I didn't really pick up golf till right in my 8th grade, going in my 9th grade year of high school. And I got serious about it and started playing, because I run out of sports. I've, you know, hurt my shoulder playing baseball, messed my knee up playing football, broke my arm playing basketball, so I figured I better find something to do besides sit around the house, because it's not, Daddy's going to have me have a job, you know, so I figured I better get into sports. And so I picked up golf and then just played golf all through high school, and then got a scholarship to Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton, Georgia. And I went there for a year and decided that wasn't, college wasn't my, you know, cup of tea. So I came on back home and worked out there for years. And
wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I quit golf. I mean, I was a weekend warrior, you know, yeah. Just, you know, like your average golfer was. And I just played on the weekends, just messing around, you know, and doing like little Calcutta tournaments and stuff. And then, Jack Slocum, Heath Slocum's daddy, started a mini tour, and I kind of got hooked into it. Kind of roped me into that to come try it. And I had to ask my foreman out there at Monsanto if I could go play in it, because it was a 3-day deal. And, it was out at the Moors. I won't ever forget it, because it was the very first tournament I ever won. And I went out there, and, I mean, like I said, I was just a weekend warrior, but I grew up kind of playing that golf course, you know, and playing it a bunch with a lot of the guys. And I ended up winning that tournament. It was the biggest check. I think it was like $2,700. And it took me almost a month to make that kind of money out there at the plant. So I told my mom, I called my mom up, and I told her, I said, look, I think I found my calling. And she said, what's that? I said, I'm playing golf. And she said, oh, no, you ain't. You're going your butt back out there to plant and work. And that's how I kind of got into becoming a professional. That's when I turned pro.
I did not know that. I did not know that you were at Monsanto and actually took some time off. And then I did not know that. I knew that it was a little different than most people's paths, but I had no idea. So you never had like a swing coach or a golf coach growing up?
I never had none of that growing up.
No formal lessons or anything?
Well, the golf coach was the high school auto mechanic teacher. I ain't kidding you. Gene Hired's his name, and he taught me how to weld, how to paint a car, how to grind down a car. I mean, dude,
how to putt.
Well, he didn't really teach me how to putt. He taught me how to hit it.
That's great. And
he told me, he said, if you can't make it from 6 foot, let's hit it inside of 3 foot.
Well, you know, even the guys on TV, I've heard them talk about it during the weekend when you're playing. You were known for your ball striking ability, very natural, able to reproduce it over and over. Is that a natural gift that you just had? You could stand over the ball and hit it?
Yes, sir. It was just something natural that, you know, and like I said, when I played baseball, batted from both sides, and, you know, I had good eye-hand coordination. I was able to see it, and thank goodness to my mom. She taught me very well in baseball and how to use my hands with my eyes, you know, and like she always did different drills with me, because I'm left-handed, so she'd try to make me right-handed.
Okay.
You know, so she'd take my left hand, tie it to my back, and make me sit out there and throw baseballs right-handed. And then she'll make me, like, you know, I ain't no good at ping pong, but she'd make me stand there with a tennis racket, and she'd pitch balls to me, you know what I mean, and make me hit it, and then learn to just keep my eye on it. And then we got to where we were throwing rocks up and hitting it with a stick broom handle, you know. And so once you learn how to do that, and then, like, you know, hitting a golf ball, it ain't moving, is pretty easy.
Well, I'll tell you what, my son has a game against Sweetwater this afternoon. He's hitting about 220 here in the early part of the season. Can I check him out and you give him about a 20-minute lesson real quick and see if we can clean that bad average up a little bit?
Only thing I can tell him is go get you some rocks, some decent-sized rocks, and get a broom handle and just let him learn to just sit there and pitch. Because your eyes have learned to pick that ball up faster if you can sit there and teach yourself how to hit them rocks with a broom handle.
So, Boo, tell us a good story from the tour. I'm sure you've got a bunch of them, but
I don't know. I don't.
This is the internet, so we're not really governed by anybody, but it is a family friendly.
And you don't actually have to, you know, call anybody out. I'm just saying, you know, just a.
I've dropped my keys in a portalette before. I did do that. I dropped them. We was in a hurry. Me and another player named Jason Hill, and. I just three-putted the last hole, and I was a little upset because it was going to be my first cut on the PGA Tour. This was in 2002, and I want to say it was in Connecticut up there playing. No, it wasn't Connecticut. It was somewhere. I couldn't remember exactly where we were at. I'm the worst with names where we're playing at. Can't remember stuff. But I just got through eating some fried chicken, and I was wearing rain pants back then, and I had them hooked on my side, and I went to, you know, just use the restroom, and bloop, bloop. They just slipped and fell right off. They didn't fall into your urinal part. They went off into drink down there. And,
oh, man.
We was leaving to go to the airport, you know, as soon as he got done. And, you know, he was already done, had his stuff packed up. And he come over and he's like, where's keys at? And I said, you ain't going to believe this. They in the bottom of that tub right there. And so I went over there to our trailer to where they had our rental cars, or at the time it was a tournament cars. And see if they had a spare keys. And I told them what happened. So I went, they said, man, we can't help you. I was like, man, I got, so I went and tried to find a coat hanger. Couldn't find nothing.
Get that wedge.
I tried to win. I tried it all, buddy. I'm telling you right now, the last thing, the last resort was a sticky arm down in there. And I went gold fishing. I went through the brown trouts and everything else. I found them keys and I pulled my arm up out there and I had some bleach and everything else in a bucket over there already set up. And I shimmed my arm down and I was blue. I ain't kidding you. I was blue from my elbow, just above my elbow down.
That's too good.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, man.
That's one of the stories.
Oh, man. That's. I'll tell you what, we got a bunch of people in this morning. Brian Edwards said, what kind of donuts y'all eating? And golf don't wear you out. It's the beer at the clubhouse after 18 that wears you out. And
or the ones before you.
Or the ones before. That's right. Kerry Hart Sawyer, Butch McKenzie, John Commander, JoJo Lovestro, Patty Mitchell, Patty Whitworth, Happy. Charles
morning,
Happel,
Happy.
Good morning, Happy.
Hillary, homecoming October 12th.
Emmons in, Roger Templeton, Steve Layton. Flimbo, Greg Fleming, Ken Douglas, Donnie Lee, Michael Egerton, Susan Rhodes, Amy Chapman in, and Manasco said the Blue Bomber.
The Blue Bomber.
One of your golfing partners in with us also, local golfing partner, Cindy Fleming. She says good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Donna Massel. Donna said that's hard to beat. Yeah, it is. I don't know if there's a better story than that one right there, Boo, at all.
There's some pretty good ones.
That one is pretty good. I can't lie. My mother-in-law wanted to know, did casting a net have anything to do with that arm at all?
No, actually, it builds it. It builds
that's,
it.
That helps it.
Yeah, yeah, I was down there this weekend. I caught a little over 60 mullet down there this weekend.
Did
we
you?
Fried them all up Friday or Saturday. We fried them up Saturday afternoon.
Well, you picked a pretty week. Oh, Saturday was beautiful. Yes, Sunday sir. Was Sunday. Did it kind of rained off and on here?
No, it was just cloudy down there. Like that little squall came through that one liner, but the weather just kind of got a little yucky. But
right.
It wasn't nothing.
Yeah, you picked a good weekend then. Mm-hmm. Good weekend.
Boo, I'm a sporting fan myself. One of my favorite events is March Madness, which is fixing to be upon us and looking forward mm-hmm. to watching that. But one of my favorite events to watch has always been the Ryder Cup. I like to watch the golf tournaments also, but the Ryder Cup, just having the patriotism that goes along with it, yeah. the team atmosphere, the team structure, the way it's set up. Talk a little bit about your experience of that, how much you enjoyed it, and kind of what you took away from that in your experience in Ryder Cup.
It's the greatest. It's by far the greatest tournament that we get to play as a professional golfer. To be able to represent your country. Me and Heath Slocum got to do it the first time when we went and played in the World Cup. And that was the very first experience I ever had representing my country, in which we did that in China. And then I got to do this and up at Valhalla in Kentucky, and being a Southern boy like I am, being around a bunch of more rednecks, little north, a little further north of us, but it was fun being with them, and it was a good time, man. I mean, it was by far the greatest golf I've ever played on the PGA Tour for the 3 days that I played, and I think I missed one shot that whole tournament, and it cost us the win, but we ended up with a tie, which me and J.B. Holmes was partners there, and That was the only missed shot I missed. But just to be able to go and represent your country it's amazing. It's the greatest feeling on grass.
Well, I tell you, and of course I'm biased. You being from our area, knowing you somewhat, watching on TV, it appeared you were the fan favorite. I mean, obviously the American team being on the home soil was very popular amongst all the galleries or whatnot. But you kind of took that place by storm. I mean, Boo kind of exploded. That weekend there in the Ryder Cup, and we were questioning how the elbow injury might have come about. Riding that horse down that tee box may have strained it initially, you reckon?
No, that was that kind of came about when we was I went to get ready to go to bed, and we just got through the team meeting, and we was walking in. I was walking in there to go to my bedroom, and on the floor we was on, we had like a little room off to the side. It had like a little snack room where you get your water, like a snack or something before you went to bed. And I went in there and got me some waters and an orange. And I was walking back to the room. As I was turned to walk out, TV was on. There was two cops sitting there that were protecting our floor and stuff. And I said, I'm going to do that right there. She said, do what? I said, I'm going to do Happy Gilmore. She said, whatever, get out of here. go on down the rock. Go on to your room, boo. And I started laughing. I said, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do that. If we're winning and I get up there and I feel it and I remember, and I said, if I hit that thing down that – if I get it over the corner, there's an oak tree. If I can get it over the corner of that oak tree, I'm going to take off riding. Whatever, go on the room, go on. And sure enough, it was kind of like, and I got the video of it from, I don't know who videoed it. Somebody sent it to me because I finally had to answer out or call out and see if I can find somebody that videoed it. But there was somebody down about, I say, about 50 yards down off the tee there. And you can see, because I always take two practice swings before I address the ball. And I took my practice from my first one, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, all right, I remembered I said I was going to do this. And I took my next one. I had this biggest grin on my face, like, here we go. And sure enough, I hit it, and it took off, and it went over it. Man, it was on. And I said, I'm going to do it. And I about run over my playing partner down there in front of me because I was so excited, just pumped up. I wanted Americans to get pumped up. And
they did.
They
responded.
I can assure you. I can assure you.
Who was the captain that year?
Paul Azing.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was a good time, especially when it was all over with. We all about got in a fight up in the room that later on that night because we was all celebrating, and the Euros came over, and some of them were a little more tipsy than the rest of us, and they were kind of being rude. They were writing things on the wall we got big old picture frames, like life-size pictures, and they were writing because we all signed them, so we can all roll them up, put them in an album or on the wall or whatever at the house. And there's a couple of guys, I ain't going to say no names, were writing on them, and then one thing led to another, and I got tired of them writing on it, so then we started an argument, and then we started shoving, and I started headlocking, and here we go to fighting, and then they kind of broke us up, and they were like, well, we take this downstairs to their room. I was like, well, that's even better. I can just whip all of y'all down there. It wasn't mad at me. And it was an exciting time.
They didn't understand them boys from over there. They was fooling with a redneck from Northwest Florida, the Panhandle, J Florida.
I'm from Baghdad. East Milton.
East Milton.
Baghdad.
Yeah.
East Milton. The river.
Okay, yeah. Across the river.
I'm from East Milton. They didn't understand what they was fooling with, did they?
No, sir.
But they found out.
They found out. It was a fun experience to be able to do that, just to be able to wrestle around with them, because you've been wanting to for a while anyway.
What did Ron Wise say? Well, he said, I didn't know how many of them was going to take to carry me, put me out of that bar, but I know how many they was fixing to use.
Yeah.
They said, I didn't know how many I was fixing to whoop, but I knew it was fixing me going down there to do it. So, I don't blame you. One of the funny things I remember, I say funny, it had to be one of the very first interviews I've seen you do. I don't know if it was on the Golf Channel. I'm not sure what channel it was on. But the whoever was doing the interview, you probably can tell me more about this, kind of led the interview off with here's a guy who's basically, just burning up the tour, doing well, and lives in a double wide or
single wide.
A single wide
trailer
back home. And Boo was like, yep, that's right. And, I got cows and this and that and other and all this kind of stuff. And I was sitting there thinking, maybe that's just people don't understand, but hey, that's the way we live down here. I mean, and obviously,
bless me.
That's right. And obviously, you talk about learning how to swing from the ag teacher or the welding teacher, what have you. There's a lot of us down here that learned a lot of things from people that you never have any idea are going to have that kind of impact on you later on in life. I mean, as you pointed out, you didn't grow up playing and taking lessons and private lessons and all this stuff. And, what'd you say when you told your mom you'd found your calling? She basically told you better get back to that plant there.
She told me to get back to the plant.
Yeah. And here you are. That's what I'm saying? I mean, don't ever think that it can't happen for you, because it certainly can.
You're right about that. You just got to believe in what you're doing and keep believing.
Yeah. And prime example sitting right here. So, Manasco said you need to come on one morning when Adam Manasco brings just wonderful food by sometimes in the morning, and you need to come by one morning, Boo, when he has brought some of that food by. And JT Joey Turner said good morning, Boo.
Joey Turner.
Blade.
Yeah, where's he at?
There ain't no telling.
I think
he's down the Daphne area.
I was gonna say down on the Eastern Shore of that area or whatever. But he said, tell you good morning, this morning. And, we, like I said, bunch of people in on this side. You got a bunch in on your side over there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I talked to John Farrell. Used to be the pro.
Yeah. Hey, where's John at now?
He's up in North Carolina.
Guess who just checked in?
Who's that?
Jay Will. Justin.
Jay Will. Good morning, Jay Will.
Justin, I know this guy sitting in between us right here. Justin's brother, you know, has been a caddy on the tour for right. years. Yeah, I don't know, Jay. Well, who's your brother caddying for now? I can't remember last time I talked to Jay. Well, who he told me it was, but there's the deacon in this morning too. Good morning, deacon.
Good morning, deacon. Lou, you had mentioned earlier Heath Slocum and something else that's just crazy. You, Heath, and Bubba, all generally from the same area. I'm sure that you were within a short drive of each other. Each other's childhood homes. How crazy is that to be in that area and have three guys doing big things on the tour just from right there?
It is pretty amazing. It's kind of like, you know, Mr. Pate kind of set the page for us, mm-hmm. and then Joe Durant really filled in, right. and you know, and then I'm the oldest, and me and then Heath, we graduated high school together, and then Bubba come in behind us. I think he's 5 or 6 years behind us in school, and it's awesome to be able to have three of us, you know, that competed together at one time on the PGA Tour. I don't know if that'll ever happen again, but I hope it does, you know, it's because it's still a compliment for whoever can do it. And it was awesome just to be able to watch, like, Bubba win another day and Joe Durant win another day the same weekends. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a pretty cool little feat, too.
You know, I saw Joe, he won the senior tour, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, Joe's just a couple of years older than me, and it just seemed crazy seeing his name attached to senior tour, which, I mean, that's a very competitive tour. A lot of guys look to turn 50 to get on it. The prize money's good. But seeing Joe still doing it, he's another one that we've been especially proud of here from the somewhat of the local area big things.
And, well, he's done a lot up here.
Oh, yeah. You yeah,
know,
absolutely.
A lot up here. And when it first opened up, and it's kind of funny, you know, Joe, I don't think he has anything for, you know, he don't have nothing else to do. He don't fish and hunt much, so. I unfortunately always got his golf. I'm sorry, Joe, if I'm knocking you down a little bit. But
what would happen here, and I know it wouldn't because the times are not the same, but if you were going into Saturday at Augusta on the leaderboard and you got word that the deer were rutting up in Dallas County, that the big bucks were rutting in Dallas County, would you have a decision to make?
No, I still had to chase that golf rut. Okay. You know, I mean, I ain't quite done with it yet, you know, and you don't get the opportunity much to be able to you know, be in the lead at Augusta.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been up there. I played good. I think it was 08 or I think it was 08 or 09. I was playing pretty well there, and I just had a bad weekend or a bad Sunday. You know, I think I shot like 75 or 77. I think I was tied for like 8th or 9th going into that day. And, Zach Johnson ended up winning it. I played with two winners there, Zach Johnson Zimbabwe boy. I can't remember. Not Zimbabwe. I can't remember his name.
What is it like playing on that course the first time that you play it?
Well, the first time I played it was in 93 when I was in college. I got to go up and play 9 holes of it, and it was totally awesome because I played it with a wooden driver. You know, I played it with the old school, you know, how the old school equipment was.
Right.
And then, you know, and then they started bringing in those, and all of a sudden Tiger comes along and they Tiger-proofed it, and you know, it made it so much longer. And to me, it used to be fun. Like, you used to be able to go around and listen to the roars. And you don't hear them roars no more. You don't, you know, if you go up there and you listen to it, you don't get to hear as many excitement shots as you usually do around the golf course. Because usually you could hear them around 2, 3, 4. And then you get around there at around 15, 16, 17. You know what I mean? Or not 17, but 14, 15, 16. You know, Amen's Corner, all that right through that area. You know, and you get to hear all that, but you don't hear it as much no more. They made it so tougher now, or tiger proof or whatever they want to call it, you know.
They made all the so much longer, and
yes, sir.
And the whole placement, they just, I mean,
it ain't as exciting.
I'll sit and watch the Masters all weekend, and
you must do a lot of sleeping.
Well, you know, I'm saying, but I enjoy watching the Masters.
Yeah.
Just because you know.
Oh, it's gorgeous now. Ain't nothing prettier.
I'm saying it's just amazing to me, though, that some of the placements of those holes, and I'm amazed anybody can come out of that thing and even be under par. I mean,
it's exciting because they get them greens so firm and fast. And, I mean, they got this, I don't know what you call that thing, sub-air, what it's called. So you think about it, they got a green, it can rain 5 inches, and they can go in there in 24 hours, they can suck that thing dry. It can be as hard as this floor right here.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? So they can dictate how they want the golf course to play. That whole place, they got just their fairways have got it. Everything's got it. So they can make it play firm and fast, and they can go out there and say, all right, at 280, we're going to keep it soft, where you fly the ball right here and it stays soft. you know, so they don't want it to roll up where you can reach a par five and two.
Right.
So they'll make that, they'll make just that one landing area between 280 to 300 to 320 soft.
Wow. And it's crazy. So you get no roll.
So you don't get no roll.
Wow. I mean,
they can dictate and see that to me ain't
golf. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's not golf. Yeah. You know what I mean? Golf is all right. If you get 5 inches of rain, guess what? You're just playing in the mud.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's a mechanical golf course now.
Oh, yes, sir.
Fully.
And I did not know that.
They try to do the same thing. Well, I know they got the greens at TPC in Jacksonville like that. But I don't think they can put the sub over there because it's the soils, like kind of like same kind of salt.
Right,
we got here.
Right.
And it's on the beach too, so it, or close to the beach. So it's
that sand's a little tougher.
Yeah, that sand's a little tougher. Yes, yeah. Sir.
Trevor Immelman.
Yes, sir, that's him.
My cousin Jeff Wilson threw that in from Birmingham. Yeah. So we got a lot of folks listening in this morning. Jeff, appreciate it, Jeff.
Yeah, Trevor Immelman, I played, yeah.
Let me ask you this, Boo, a couple of questions. Have you ever made a hole-in-one on tour, like during an event?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's your lowest score, obviously, a one. Where was that at?
I've had three out
there. Okay. What was the most recent one?
The most recent one was...
Remember that. Where they were at was fine, if you remember.
Jackson, Mississippi, Pebble Beach was one.
Okay.
And I want to say it was at... I don't even remember. It was... I can't remember the name of the golf course. I remember the hole. It was at, I think it was North Carolina.
So a one was obviously your lowest score. Yes. What's the highest score you ever had during a tour event on a single hole?
I want to say a 12. 12 or 11, I want to say.
Water involved?
Well, water was involved, a couple of mad shots. Mostly it's the mad shots. It wasn't, I don't think it's as much as the, I think it was an 11.
You've seen how many clubs McGowan has snapped out here, weekend warrior. What could that guy do during a tour season if he was really playing and the stakes were as high as they were? How many do you think he could go through?
He'd have to buy stock in whatever club manufacturer he was in. They'd have to put him on a budget. They'd have to put him on a limit. Like, all right, look, buddy, you can't get but 4 sets of irons. That's all you can get.
I tell you, he might
be mismatched. But
I watched him here at the old place one day when the club was right here next door. And he'd gotten upset there after number nine, the little putting greens there. And he takes out his irons and he's breaking them over the cart. I mean, he's going through the whole set. He gets down to about the 7-iron and it breaks and it wraps around and hits him in the rear. Mm-hmm. And he doubles up, so the 8-iron, the 9-iron, and the wedge were salvaged. But yeah, he can do it.
I watched a guy do that at Tanglewood and stick it through his arm.
It's not any fun at that point.
He hit it right around the tree, and it came all the way around and broke off and went through his arm right there, right through his arm.
Wow,
that's why I was younger then. I think I was in like the 10th grade, and I watched that happen. I said, well, that won't ever happen to me. I won't ever break a club.
So I'm going to put you on, not really putting you on the spot here, but you mentioned Tiger a while ago and talking about, you know, the Tiger proofing and that type of thing, you know, when he came on the tour, hit the tour, what have you. Do you ever see anybody being that dominant in the sport in golf ever again? Or have they made it now to where it's just impossible to be that dominant?
They won't ever be nobody that dominant no more. I mean, it was during his era, it was right there where all the manufacturers were changing, the balls were changing, clubs were changing. You know, it's like we started doing all of our drug testing. That is not, there's no factor no more. There's no one person going to come out and be dominant.
It just can't happen.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
There's no way. Granted, you know, like you take like Justin that just won, you know, this week. You know, he's going to be good. He's always going to be good. But, you know, he ain't going to go out there and just going to dominate nine times, you know, like Tiger was doing 9-10 times a year every time he teed it up.
Right.
If he didn't win, he was in the top, you know, 15. That ain't not going to happen.
Well, you know, one of the things that bugs me, and I'm not implicating anybody. This is for professional sports, period, and I think you made a good comment about it, the drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
Not naming any names here, but you can look at people as grown men and how they change from you know, they're this way, you know, one year and this way the next. It is rampant, whether it's cycling, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whether it's golf, whether it's tennis. You'll never convince me that there were people doing things to give themselves a little bit of a competitive advantage in terms of building muscle, building mass, whatever the case may be. There's just no way.
And this is out in public, so, I mean, I'm not, you know, and this is years ago in baseball, but, you know, you go back to the Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa,
sure.
You know, battle or whatever for the, you know, home runs, that type of thing. you know, if you remember McGuire when he was with the Oakland, the A's, and then when he gets over to the,
you know, literally what skinnier he was.
Oh, man.
In that 1 year and a half, 2 year span. Yeah.
Man, that he guy just up. Blew up. I mean, you just don't, I don't care who you are. I mean, and Sensei Spikes is in this morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Watching. But I believe he'd be the one that could tell you, you just don't do that naturally.
Well, you know, Canseco wrote a book. He outed everybody. And at the time,
he did.
And at the time, everybody thought he was a fool. He was a liar.
Yeah,
he was this.
They
he was
dogged
that.
Him.
He was vilified.
He was.
And it turns out that about 90% of what he said or the assertions he made were absolutely the truth.
That's a fact. I mean, you know, so, and I think that's a great point, you know, Boo, that because of those things that they've put into place, everybody's basically on a level playing field now, is what you're saying.
I believe so. I mean, there's still some things out there that you can do during the off season that can help out a lot, you know. But at the same time, I mean, when it comes back to drug testing, it's there. You know what I mean? There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You know, the drug tests don't lie. And the good thing about it is with ours, he's standing right there on your shoulder. You can't walk in there. They catch you right when you come off the golf course. You can't hide nothing.
It's like the military. They're standing there, right there in front of you, all on display, watching you do what, take care of business. They do. So, it's not like the NFL or you know, those guys get a what is it? You know, just a five or this or that. I mean, like if they get you on the tour, are they suspended or
no? You get a slap the first time, and I think the second one's a $10,000 fine, and then the third one's you got to go to rehab and you got to take 6 months off.
That's all right. Somebody probably, listen, I promise you that phone call is probably more important than what sitting here talking to DJ and myself are.
My son. I was supposed to go by the bank and help him out. He's got a problem with a credit card.
Oh,
but we'll get that fixed here when I get done.
Well, I tell you what, you know, when you expect to be back out there banging it out on the tour again?
I'm hoping in a month and a half. That's my goal. But you know, I'm hoping to come back out and be ready. If I'm not on the PGA tour, I'll be playing some of the web tours and just trying to get myself back in the groove. Trying to get yourself mentally, you know, because when you take this much time off, it's, you know, you're gonna be like, all right, you know, come out there. Nerves are going to get you again. You got to start all over. You're starting all over again.
But it seemed like it was much needed, the time off?
Oh, yeah, it was much needed. Golf wasn't fun. It turned into a job, and I had some personal issues I was having to deal with at home.
And you know, that's a great point. When something turns into a job, especially something that you love,
yes, sir.
When it turns into a job, it's just not that much fun anymore.
No, it wasn't fun. I mean, it just got to where I felt like I was just going week to week, you know, just, all right, another motel, you know, and, you know, you get tired of eating out, you know. I mean, that's the thing about it. You just get tired of going and eating. You got to eat at this restaurant, you know, and then it gets old, you know, and then especially getting the four walls kind of closing around you. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, like, we'll get some buddies of us and we'll rent a house, you know, and it kind of helps you. And it's like when we rent the house, it's like all the guys that rent the house, we all play well that week because we're finally out of that confined space, and we got a little room to ourselves, and we can sit around, talk, have a couple of drinks, laugh, cut up, you know, and kind of, you know, because now you're actually with your buddies, you know, instead of being confined to your one space and being by yourself all the time.
DJ, you got anything else? I know we've took up enough of Boo's time, and you know, certainly appreciate him sitting down with us. I didn't know if you might have something you wanted to close with.
I just appreciate you spending some time with us. About 30 seconds notice that we were going to put you on, and you were it was first class that you sat down with us. Not exactly know what was going on. We do appreciate your time. I know those listening in have enjoyed hearing from you and getting some of those behind-the-scenes stories from a tour player like yourself. Mm-hmm. We certainly wish you well, and be praying for you on a full recovery and look forward to following you again on tour.
Well, I appreciate it. It's kind of funny that I come in here, you know, I do business with Peach and them up here, you know, the Chevrolet place, and it's great to be able to come in here, and all of a sudden y'all throw me in here like, bam, guess what, we got you.
Well, listen. Anytime that we can have somebody that will class this program up, we try to grab them as fast as we can, because listen, we, you know, I promise you, between myself and DJ, you have classed this thing up tremendously compared to what it normally is.
Have you tried Stephen Thomas?
Buck does. Matter of fact, Jackson, his brother, is in watching, has been commenting. Matter of fact, well, his last comment was, as long as Boo has his beer, he's good. So, but you know, no, we Buck, we have not got haven't got him in here yet.
Buck's too busy.
Yeah, Buck's a busy guy.
Busy man.
Yeah, running his gums, slapping him lips. Yeah.
Well, hey, Boo, thank you for stopping by. Y'all. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Boo.
Thank you. Sir. Thank you for stopping in. And if we ever do anything for you, let us know. Sir. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get up and do this from the beach.
All right. Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be a good time.
Oh, yeah. We can look back. You got the camera right there and look back. And then all of a sudden, while y'all sitting there talking, I can lean over.
Yeah.
Throw my net.
Yeah. Hey, and I tell you what, get some of your buddies to come by. We'll have a big time.
Oh, yes. Sir.
That'd be a big time. You know, maybe maybe if we could catch a weekend where you had a Larry the Cable Guy down there, if we could get him to sit down. And
he don't come down this way much unless he's got a show.
Well, hey, we can put on a show.
Good to see y'all. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Boo. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Boo Weekly. How about that? How about that there, DJ?
Boo Weekly in the house. Good man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
I mean, yep. Ray Stewart, great surprise visitor. You're right, Ray. Brian Edwards said, when y'all get Mark Ward on? I need a laugh to start the day on. And when he comes on, my mama didn't. Let's see. And when he comes on, no, my mama didn't have that keg party on 29 and 85. It was a good one. Woke up with Zeke in the yard.
Wow. Sounds like a good time.
It does sound like a good time. Manasco said he'd cook what Boo catches. JT said Buck is bumping them gums. Good morning, Rachel. Ivy, Rachel Capper, good morning.
Morning, Cap.
We've had a bunch of people in this morning coming in and out, and I have not had a chance to say good morning to all of them, but, hey, we, you know, with a guest like that coming in and sitting down, it's kind of hard to do that. But that was great, mighty, mighty gracious of Boo to do that for us, and it just kind of worked out like that.
I tell you, he's such an endearing person. You come in here and he doesn't try to be something that he's not. I mean, you know, if he wasn't a world-class athlete, he'd be one of us. I mean, just honest, just doesn't try, like I said, doesn't try to put on a false front. He's Boo.
Listen, Danny Smith said it best. He's a Southern gentleman. Not to turn us down because it wasn't scheduled. Well, he's a Southern gentleman, period. Right. Boo Weekly's a fine man. I mean, I can tell you right now, and he can sling a cast net like you've never, like nobody's business. I can say that as well.
I think the thing that
Paul Wayne,
impressed me the most about him is he never meets a stranger and he's never above meeting anybody. I've never seen him not stick his hand out to shake a hand when it was presented. I've never seen him not try to bring somebody in and make them feel like they needed to be there. He's just, I don't know, man. Boo's a neat guy.
He is. And you know, I thought
easy to cheer for.
I thought that was a great, great story of what he told about who he learned how to hit a golf ball from.
Yeah.
You know, his is not the typical story of, this is how I ended up playing golf. You know, as most baseball players and football players grow up taking lessons and private lessons and all this stuff, Boo never had any of that.
He could just kind of do it.
He just could.
He could just do
it.
What
do they call it? They call that a God-given talent, do they not?
It is God-given.
So,
and he has certainly worked hard to cultivate it.
Oh, sure.
Before we went on, we were talking about, you know, he hit 300 balls yesterday, 200 the day before. Then he was a little sore, so he took some days off. He did one-handed sand shots.
That's right.
I can't hit two-handed sand shots. And he's sitting there dumping them with one.
Good morning, Curtis Hearn and Debo. Debo's in this morning. Good to see you. Action. Good morning, Action. Heath Jackson in. Yeah, he is a nice guy.
Cindy, I agree, Cindy.
Action says he's like Butch, but talented.
Exactly like Butch, but yeah, not.
No, he is Boo's a stand-up guy and does business here with us.
Yes, sir.
At Peach, as he said.
Exclusively.
Exclusively.
You know why?
Has for years.
And we all know why. He gets taken care of.
He gets taken care of. And let me say this, not just because he's Boo Weekly.
Absolutely not.
I mean, and he would be the first to tell you that. I mean, it's not it's not because he's Mr. Boo Weekly. We take care of anybody. Boo drives up here from East Milton because he wants to be or he likes to be taken care of. And of course, if he needs something, calls. We do what we can to accommodate.
He's always been good to this area. He had his golf tournament up here at the country club for several years. Then logistically, it just got to where that place wasn't working. Had to move it down closer to Navarra. But anytime he gets an opportunity to be in this area and support and do business, he makes a special effort to do so. And I know all those efforts are appreciated.
Butch McKenzie, Butch says, so Boo went elbow deep in the porta potty for keys, and DJ gives me grief for getting a pancake from the top of the garbage can. I'm off the hook now.
Never, Butch. Never.
Flimbo, we appreciate that. Flimbo, Peach family will take care of his customers. Yes, yes, we do. We do try to do that, and we appreciate that compliment. We appreciate that anybody does business with us. Certainly appreciate Boo for stopping in this morning and me grabbing him, literally snatching him out of the hall.
I saw his truck when I pulled up. I just thought it was here for service.
It was.
When he was walking up, he didn't hesitate. You said, we need you, and here he comes.
Yeah. Boo is always gracious enough to, like you said, he'll stop and talk to you and talk to anyone. And just a great guy, does a lot of charitable things, and raises a lot of money for a lot of different charities. And I'll tell you, we're lucky to have a guy like that in this area. Who brings that type of notoriety to things that he does. So, all right, JT, thank you for watching, no doubt. But Jackson Thomas. So the Lady Tigers.
Yeah, let's shift gears
let's shift gears.
Lady Tigers set the tip-off at 9 o'clock. Birmingham.
Just a few minutes.
Lady Tigers playing Lauderdale County. That is semifinal games. If they win that one, they would advance to the state championship game on Friday. Certainly going to wish them well. There are places on the internet to follow the game if you choose. I go to AL.com to get my scores, but I'm sure there are others. So we obviously wishing the Lady Tigers well. Then baseball and softball action everywhere today. So if you don't have plans this afternoon, end of the evening, get to one of these ballparks, support these kids, take you a $5 bill and support the concession stand also. WS Neal with a big win last night. They beat Excel 6-5. T.R. Miller got rained out. I'm not sure of other scores, but would be happy to pass them along if you make us aware of them.
So if the Lady Tigers win today, they will play Friday.
I'm not sure of the start time on that one,
but that would be for
all the marbles. That'd be for the blue map.
For the blue map,
Coach Jackson has four of them already here on display at the gym, looking for number five, looking for one for the thumb.
Good morning, Jim Baggett. Jim Baggett in the house.
Jim,
I will tell you what I'm impressed with, and I'm not trying to shift gears. I'm impressed with you. Haven't touched. I don't think I've seen you eat one of those donuts. Have you eaten one?
I had one, but I had some water right behind it.
Well, I listen.
That should be good.
I'm more impressed that six has turned into one.
Yeah. I'm in training.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
That is impressive. Good morning, good morning, Jim Baggett.
I'm in training.
Happy birthday to his oldest, McNeil Baggett. Well, happy birthday.
How old is McNeil? I follow him a little bit on Facebook. He just got the Arrow of Life Award in the scouting program.
Happy birthday!
Yep. Wow. I'll tell you what, man. We're all getting old. I don't know. I mean, that ain't a bad thing. But, we didn't get to talk about it, but I do want to mention this. I want to thank the Methodist Church for what they did Friday night and the daddy-daughter dance, the event that they put on, I thought was tremendous.
It is every year. It gets a little better every year. And I'll tell you something, and I know Kinsley's the same way. Lindsay, about Christmas, starts talking about that. I mean, that's one of those dates that she puts on her calendar. She's going to get her dress. And she's going to go to that. We may not do anything else. We may not play softball. We may not play basketball. But we're going to that daddy-daughter dance. And to watch all those girls have that night and see the church provide that and set that up, it is special times.
That was. And I'm going to tell you, the amount of effort that goes into that and the amount of people and willpower, just the amount of, you think about the number of people that it takes to put something like that on. And, they those little girls, I tell you, I was wore out just watching them. I know you had. I mean, we were sitting there watching them out there. I wish I had a quarter of that energy.
I wish, and I'd taken a video of some of Lindsay dancing, some of her friends that were right around her. I wish we'd had an aerial and showed how big the floor was and how many girls were out there doing their deal, because it was, you talk about the energy in there. I mean, those girls had themselves a big time.
They had a big time.
A big time.
They had a big time. I can tell you they did. So, you know, again, that was another, you know, another great year of that, the daddy-daughter dance. Of course, want to congratulate, I don't think we had a chance to, Neil, on winning the county tournament.
3-0, yeah. Mm-hmm. That Connor Husky that was the
Friday night, I think it was.
Most outstanding player in the tournament was Connor Husky, yeah, and he was well-deserved.
Good deal, good deal. Well, want to congratulate them. Softball,
it's underway. I don't have a schedule.
If we could, I tell you what we need to do. We need to, we talked about also, getting the, you know, doing some of the players of the week, you know, that type of thing we're doing. We got to get that in full swing. But we need to get some of the schedules from, both the Miller girls, and the Neil, you know, softball teams. And, of course, all the local areas.
Bloomington,
Jay. Yeah, everybody's. And, that way we can keep up with it. We can get, scores out there to people and kind of keep you informed and stay up on that kind of thing.
We road tripped to Sweetwater today, and they're the defending champions last year. So we'll have
a state champions.
Yeah, state champions.
Wow.
So we'll have our work cut out for us and look forward to getting over there and mixing it up with them. But they'll be an excellent team.
I want to mention this real quick before we get out of here. Today on the buffet at Camp 31.
Yep.
Meatloaf.
I love meatloaf.
Beef steak with onion and gravy. Camp 31 smoked chicken, tons of country vegetables, 11 to 2.
I love meatloaf.
And you can't, I'm going to tell you, if you have not went down and ate that buffet, you do not know what you're missing.
It's a treat.
It's outstanding. It is outstanding. So, hey, what a great show.
Great show today.
Great show today. I do want to mention one thing. I had a good time Friday with the old school, with the old school music.
Oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. A great way to start a Friday. That was good.
Had a good time with that. So certainly did. Brian Edwards being funny. Let's see, Judy. Thank you, Judy. WS Neal JV plays Fulmington at home at 4 and 6 p.m. at home. Let's see. Middle school travels to Pensacola Christian for a 3:45 p.m. game. So
a lot of opportunities to get to a ballpark and support these kids. And always, always support that concession stand.
That's
as
right.
Well.
That's right. All right, DJ, let you do your deal.
Great programming here today with Boo Weekly. Once again, these programs are downloaded on podcasts. Go and like the BMP page. You'll have it there at your disposal and at your convenience. We appreciate all of you being in with this morning. And Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow with Drive Time. For Ken James, I'm David Jennings. Y'all have a good one.
Friday at 8 a.m. ish. Remember to like and share the Drive Time videos, as the more you like and share, the more chances you have to win.